Well, good morning, everyone. Man, such a great testimony. Thanks to the Maurice for sharing that. I love a couple of the things he said, but ultimately the sentiment that, man, community is here for anybody. And it just makes a great segue into what I'm going to be talking about today in genuine community. But I just want to start by saying community is here. And want to encourage you to step into it. After service, we have journey groups that are out front. There's about 18 of them out there, all different titles and direction. You can go look. The leaders will be there for you to meet and ask any questions. Join a journey group. It's a tool for you to use to find community. But even if you don't do that, invite people into your home. Step into community because of the power that's in it that Jesus intended for us. Amen? That's good. So, before I get into my message today about genuine community, I want to share a couple of things. The Lord's really been speaking to me about seasons. And I think partly because of the transition, and my oldest daughter, Amaris, got married last month, which was amazing, yes. It was a fabulous time, great wedding. And so, you know, seasons come and go, And one of the things that we got to do, you ever come up with a good idea and you go, gosh, that was a really good idea? Nope, well, I've got to change that. But I remember after my son Matthew got married, Michelle and I were driving home. We're thinking about, you know, just reflecting on everything and excited and a little tired, you know, and all of those things. And then, you know, the next day they go off to their honeymoon and we go back to work and dropping stuff off and all of that. And I thought to myself, we should go on a parent moon. And I just tucked that. If you're a parent and you have unmarried kids, tuck this somewhere and think about this. Because when Amaris got married, we had planned ahead, Michelle and I. I said, hey, when this is all over, people drive back home, let's go on a parent moon. And she said, yeah, let's do it. So I promised my daughter we will not go to the same place you're at. Amaris asked, please don't. And I said, no, we'll go someplace else. But we actually connected with some of the people we do community with, and the four of us went away to a tropical place. And I don't say this to rub it in, but I will a little. When we left here, it was 20 degrees, and we were getting texts from Delta going, hey, your flight might be delayed. But when we landed in our tropical location, it was 81 degrees, and that's the way it was for the rest of our trip. And my kids were sending me pictures, look, it's snowing. And I was showing my feet on the beach going, it's not here, you know. And it hit me. I thought, no wonder why, you know, people travel from the Northeast and they go south to Florida for warmer weather. No wonder why, I remember my dad calling them snowbirds, people that just come down to get out of the snow and the cold. And I go, man, I could totally see that. And the Lord culminated this whole season thing with telling me, Tom, don't forget that every season has its place and reason. That's right. And I was reminded that even winter, every season has its moment and its place. And though we might like summer, where's people like warm weather? Where's people like cold weather? And we all have our exceptions where we go, I'd rather have this, or I could do this, mountains, beach, snow, heat, whatever it is. But each season, there's something for us to glean, a harvest for us to yield, and that's the way God intended it. And that's why there's so much, no matter where you go, there's seasons. I lived in Texas, there was one, it's called summer. There was actually more than that, but we each go through these seasons. And so I share all of this with you today because as I was preparing for this week, I believe the Lord's saying that the season that we're stepping into, it's vital for us to be in community. It's really, really important for us to be in community. And so today I want to talk about genuine community. We all know that we need community. We know that we were created for community. Much of Scripture calls us to community founded on beliefs and love that compels us toward living for Jesus. Back in Genesis, it starts with the Lord saying it's not good for man to be alone. Though there's moments that it's great to be alone and solitude, being alone is no fun. There's no one to share your victories with. There's no one to share your joys with. No one to share your hurts with. You can only play catch with yourself for so long. And we've tried to make it interesting by going, well, what if I add a couple more balls and juggle? But if there's no one there to watch it, it gets pretty old. Hunting's another one. I enjoy hunting. I recently went hunting, 3-day thing, this is last year, by myself, and I thought, oh, this is gonna be great. I'm gonna get away with the Lord. I'm gonna do all of these things. Spent the night, woke up the next morning, walked out to my blind, got in the blind. And if there's any hunters in here, it just felt like there wasn't a deer within 3,000 miles. Just one of those empty moments. But so I started thinking through, want to walk in, and this, you just start daydreaming, this is what's gonna happen. And then, and I was at a far place, and I'm like, oh, I gotta carry this thing out on my own. And if I do get a good shot, who do I get to share that with? And I remember sitting there thinking to myself, going, gosh, I don't feel like I just want to sit out here and soak in all of this time to hunt by myself. And I remember I headed home, I called Michelle. I said, hey, I'm on my way home. She's like, oh, did you already get one? I was like, I wish. I said, no, I just want to be with family. I just want to be around other people. I don't enjoy being out here alone. So though there's purpose for being alone, it's not always the most fun. And I think that's because we were created for community. One of the best investments you can make on this side of heaven is in community. It's not the best, but it's one of the best investments you can make on this side of heaven. Why? Because there's transforming power in community through Jesus. If you look around, we have a form of community all around us. We all live in a community, in a house. We all go to a bank, and there's banks called community banks, our neighborhoods, even community hospitals, even movies and TV shows like Toy Story and other things like that express the importance of community. There's pickleball communities and hunting communities and sports communities, all of these things. But can I just tell you, true community looks like true community. And if we're not careful, we'll allow a version of community. It's not bad. Let me guys play pickleball. Just learning how to do that. You should do that. It's great exercise and it's fun. Nothing wrong with those things. Nothing wrong with hunting. Nothing wrong. But that can't be the true community that we look to glean from as the Lord has called us. True community looks like true community. Have you ever thought about Jesus's community? If you thought about the 12 disciples and who he pulled together, Jesus goes away, he prays all night, Lord, show me who. And he picks tax collectors, fishermen, tradesmen. You know, if I was a life coach for Jesus and he came to me and he said, hey, Tom, what kind of person do you think I would pick? I probably wouldn't go, you know what I would do? I'd go by the shore and just find two guys fishing. That'd probably be good. And this tax collector, take him because he's taking all this money from me. If you take him, then he won't take my money. I think my perspective would be a little different, but what Jesus does, he goes out, he prays to the Lord, and that's who he picks. Tax collectors, fishermen, tradesmen. It's fun to listen to what the disciples go through and how Jesus raises them up and teaches them and shows them and helps them transform. But this is what I know for sure. Community, it can be hard. It can get messy. It isn't always what you feel like doing. It can be exposing. It can be a little revealing. But what I have also learned is community is extremely rewarding. Yeah. It's life-giving. I don't know about you guys, but it helps keep me on track. It helps me stay on purpose and heading in the right direction that the Lord has called me. It helps me experience the life that Jesus intended me to live. I firmly believe this. You can't become who you're supposed to be without community. You can't. You can't become who you're supposed to be without community because you were never meant to go this journey of life alone. I asked you this before. I'm going to ask you. You ever have a good idea that later when you think about it, you thought, really? Did I think of that? What was I thinking? Anybody have those? I remember when I was going through a very difficult time in Texas, and I was trying to figure out, and I was leaning to stepping away from ministry. It was actually the time that I first began to develop community with Greg. And I remember meeting with Greg, and I had this thought of, you know, when in Texas, do like Texans, so I could raise cattle. How hard could it be? Right? How hard could it be? Everyone does it all over Texas. And I started thinking maybe we should raise cattle. I remember Michelle and I went and looked, drove the countryside, and look how easy that looks to raise cattle. And I met Greg. And he said, I'll raise cattle with you. No, I'm just kidding. He didn't say that. I met Greg, and the beginning of our community, you know what's beautiful about it? He reminded me of who I was. He reminded me of what I was called to. And I was able to see the shadow of what I was trying to duck into for what it was, and realized I needed to plant my feet, no matter how hard it hurt, no matter how difficult it was, into the place that God has called me. You can't find that without community. So I want to look at our main text for today is out of Matthew 20. We're going to look at somebody else's great idea, James and John, part of Jesus's community. And the NIV titles this A Mother's Request. This is such a crazy story when you think about it. As I read it, you'll understand. But let's pick it up in verse 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. What is it you want? He asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you'll indeed drink the cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom have been prepared by my Father. This is Jesus's community. Two guys show up. They rope their mom into this. I got an idea. Let's get these positions. Let's grab these things and let's make it spiritual. Quick, kneel down, kneel down. What a crazy scene is going on. But what's amazing about this, we're going to continue on in a moment, but I think this shows us what community isn't about. I just want to talk briefly about this, because community isn't about leverage. It's not about position. It's not about domineering. It's not about what you can get out of community. We don't enter community to go, what can I get about this? Oh, I should hang out with those people because then I can achieve this. It's not about that. It's not about being in front of others or making sure, hey, I want to make sure I lead this thing, so you should all do this. It's not about domineering or lording it over other people. Though many communities focus on what you get, the Christian community is called to be different. The sons of Zebedee thought, this is our moment to grab what we can. I was recently, someone mentioned this game show that I watched. It's called Mr. Beast Games or something like that. A couple of you have watched this. I was amazed at, it was like 1,000 people and they make them do all of these things. And when I was watching it, they were down to 10. And it was crazy to see all the things they went through. But what caught my eye is they kept acting like this was gonna be some great community. Hey, you get to live in the community. Hey, you guys get to be friends. But all along, there's this overarching thing that I'm thinking of. There's only one winner. And it was for a lot of money. It was for like $5 million. But they kept putting them in situations where they go, you guys love each other. Yay, we're a community. And then it was like, hey, go get them. And people were getting frustrated, and community was crazy. But this one episode, there were 10 people left. And to tempt them, he put $1 million in a box. And he said, depending on how you finish the game, last time is gonna determine what position you're in. And so they put him in their little houses in their nice little community. He said, one at a time, you can come out. Here's $1 million. You can take as much as you want. You can leave as much as you want, whatever you wanna do. He didn't tell him what it was for, didn't any of that. So the first woman came out, she thought about it, and she goes, if we each take $100,000, that will change all of our lives. Though she had the ability to take $1 million, she took $100,000. I was like, I wonder what I would have done in that situation. The next person comes out, sees that only 100,000 is gone, figuring out, oh my gosh, that means we all get 100,000. So guess what he did? He took 233. I can't just take 100, I want a little bit more. So the third person goes out there, guess what he did? $625,000. To where the next guy came out, looked at the box, and he was like, this is ridiculous. This isn't what I expected. I thought we'd all take. So he goes, I'm not gonna take anything. Goes back into his house. People started splitting it and all of this stuff. But in that show, it's like, I can get mine. I can get mine. I can get mine. And it's kind of what the sons of Zebedee were going through. We have a moment here. Mom's here. Jesus is here. None of the other ones are around. Let's take this opportunity to set in motion what we can get, our position. Ultimately, we'll lord it over them. It's pretty crazy. So let's continue to read, because I want to get away from the ugly side of community, because I think honestly we've all seen it. And I want to get to the beauty of what God intended community to be like. See, the story doesn't stop there, it continues. And Jesus tells them, I believe, what community looks like. Let's pick it up in verse 24. When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Shocking, huh? They freaked out. Indignant is a nice way to say it. They were pretty mad. Verse 25, Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to become first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So the sons of Zebedee, they take their chance to grab at the million bucks, whatever you want to say. Hey, this is our chance to be on the right and to the left, because we'll have some authority. We'll have some say in the game. The 10 come back and they go, are you serious? Jesus goes, time out, guys. Come here, let's talk for a minute. Let me set some ground rules for this community. And I think what Jesus points out is what we get to step into and benefit from of what genuine community is all about. Because it's, honestly, it's more than a sport. It's more than just something we do. All of those things are great. There's something powerful when we step into the community that Jesus intended for us to be in. So let's talk about this genuine community. Number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. Community is about serving one another. It's not about get what you can. It's not about grab it when no one's looking. It's not about positioning it so you can make sure to achieve. It's actually about serving one another. Imagine if Jesus came to the earth and he looked around and he said, what and who would help me be the biggest and baddest guy around? What's gonna help me succeed? What's gonna help me cause people to go, ooh, that's a cool guy? Who would he pick? Kings and rulers and the all of these things, but instead he chose the people his father said, pick these guys. Those guys later turn the world upside down. These tax collectors, this ragamuffin group, they turn it around. Why? Because they understood and got to the place of, let's serve one another. Guys, community is all about this. You can't enter community thinking, what can I get in this relationship? What can I get in this gathering or group? What you should be looking at is, what can I bring and give to this community? Because every single one of you has something to give, something to offer. And the community that's around you is longing for it, even if they don't know it. The crazy thing is, we can't be in community with everyone all the time as we grow. And the same thing happened with Jesus. He picked 12 and changed the world. So in finding our community, serve one another. It's why in Matthew 20, when Jesus says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom, there's anybody that could have said, hey, I'm the head honcho. I'm the one in charge. It would have been him, and he didn't. He said, I gotta give you an example and I gotta serve. Genuine community requires humility, requires selflessness. It requires considering others and laying down your own preferences. I love what Romans 12:9 says, because I believe genuine community requires sincere love. Verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling to what's good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. What a beautiful picture of community. And we don't stand at a place going, y'all should be in my community. You should all do that for me. No, it's me coming going, how can I do this for them? That's serving one another. Last year, we had a crazy situation. I believe I was hunting with my son. Michelle was driving on Peachtree Industrial Boulevard, heading towards the church, and a guy lost control of his car, went over the center divider and almost hit her head on, totaled our car. It was a scary moment. I remember calling Michelle and she's like, I'm fine, just know that the car's not. I was like, what? No, I'm just kidding. No, I didn't do that. I was like, are you okay? She goes, I think so. Are you sure? Yeah. I said, do you need me to come home? She's like, no, it's... So then she sends me a couple pictures of the car. And she got hit so hard, her car got driven pushed from the left lane across the next lane, across the sidewalk into the grass. Whoa. She's showing me pictures of this. I said, I'm on my way. No, I don't want to ruin. No, I'm on my way. Someone in our community met her where the accident was. Michelle, I go, are you going to go to the hospital? She says, no, I don't think I need to. I think I'm going to be okay. I said, you need to go to the hospital. She goes to the hospital, and someone else in our community went and sat with her the whole time she was in the hospital. Amen. I know this can be a shock to you, but the insurance stuff was a little crazy. No one wanted to take fault, all of this stuff. People in our community were going, hey, do you need to borrow a car? So we borrowed some cars. Then we had to rent one because this whole thing ended up taking months. And then people were coming forward going, hey, can we help you pay for your car? I don't share this with you to go, hey, look at all the things I got. I share this to go, man, we're overwhelmingly blessed by the community. And if somebody else was in that position, we would have done the same thing. Because we serve one another. We sacrifice for each other. I don't say this to be mean, but I live in a community. And in our community, I don't know about you guys, but I don't know a lot of the people there. Everyone drives in their driveway, goes in their garage, and the garage shuts behind them. Anybody else? Community. It's called a community. The community I'm with that knows me and loves me is constantly going, we're getting meals. I overwhelmed at all of the blessings. Do you know what I got from my community where I live? A letter that says, you need to move your car because you're not allowed to have wrecked vehicles in the driveway. Should I expect that community to bring me meals? Should I expect them to knock on the door and go, hey, are you okay? I noticed it looks like this car got crashed. That'd be nice. But honestly, that's not the kind of community it is. This is what we have, HOA, these are the rules, this is what we do, and this is what we talk about. I can't expect that community to give me what God ordained this community to give me. I got to see it right, because otherwise then I start thinking that's genuine community, and then I start giving that to other people. Wow. That's not healthy. Right. Community is about serving one another. Number two, it's a fun one. Community is about realignment. I love that after this crazy positioning and the sons of Zebedee go, hey, we're going to take over and all this stuff. Jesus doesn't go, get out. He doesn't kick them out. The other 10 were probably going to go, yeah, let's do it, you know? Doesn't happen. Loves them, works it all out, because, guys, that's what happens in community. I don't know what it looked like. It was probably like, hey, guys, we're so sorry. We shouldn't have done that. It was a mistake. Hey, we love you. No worries. They made up. Everything was good, and they moved on. Blows me away that even in that, what they did, Jesus doesn't kick them out. And can we just be honest for a moment? Or I'll be honest, there are times I need a realignment. if my back's out of whack or I pull a muscle, I'm going to the chiropractor and go, could you, and they realign me so that I don't look like a hunchback, right? They fix what's out of alignment in me. Guys, we have to be okay with the truth that we need to be realigned. When I first met Greg and I told you about Texas, I was gonna ranch cattle. I don't even know to the degree that he knew what I was feeling or where I was going, but yet he reminded me of who I was and what God has called me to. That was a realignment. That was a realignment. Listen to this passage. We this is so important. We so need each other. 2 Kings 6, 15 and 17. When the servant of the man of God got up and went outside early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my Lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he looked and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots and fire all around Elisha. I need community because I need to be reminded that there's horses and chariots around my circumstances. I need someone to remind me that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I need somebody to realign and help me remember what the Lord's speaking and what he's called me to. And I think you do too. I need the community to remind me of this, the promises that the Lord has spoken, the prophetic words that I have received. We need to be realigned. Here's another one. Good old James and John again. Love this. Luke 9. As time approached for them to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead who went into Samaria, into the Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there, they didn't welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, saw this, they asked the Lord, "Do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then he and his disciples went to another village. Sons of thunder. This is amazing to me. The same guys that were in a position where the 10 could have come back and gone, "Do you want us to call down fire from heaven on them?" They're trying to take the first position, the second position. All that's these same guys are offended because they won't welcome the master. And we go, "Oh, I kind of get that." But Jesus was like, "It's not about being offended." They needed a realignment. I would have loved to be there in that conversation when they go, "Hey, do you want us to call down fire from heaven?" Like, first of all, they thought the Lord might go, "Yeah, do it." You don't ask things that you don't think. Yes? They actually thought it was gonna happen. That blows me away. But then, what did Jesus say? It says he rebuked them, but could you imagine that conversation? "Really, guys? Did you want the 10 to do that?" A little chuckle, a little laugh. "No, that's not a good idea after all." "Yeah, let's move on." Guys, we just have to be okay with the truth that we need some realignment, some adjustments. If you want genuine community, you can't avoid vulnerability. We have to be okay with people seeing who we are, the good, the bad, the ugly. We have to learn to love correction, realignment. We don't have to be perfect. Who said we had to be perfect? We have to be in community, not be perfect. I've been at Northlands for 14 years, 15 years, something like that. And I love the community and the people I get to run with, both here and really close friends I have. Why? Honestly, because I need this. I need some realignment. Sometimes the circumstances and the things feel so heavy and frustrating, I can't see straight. Is that okay for me to say? And there's probably times when you're in the same position. If I'm crying about something, I physically can't see because it's all blurry. Spiritually, sometimes we're crying and I need someone that can see straight to go, "Hey, This is where you need to focus. This is what you need to step into. That's why scripture says, mourn with those who mourn, rejoice with those who weep with those. We do it for one another because that's what community is. We just got to be okay. And look, I get it. Vulnerability is a little scary. We don't like to be vulnerable because what if somebody uses it against us? What if I say out loud, hey, should we call down fire from heaven? And it's wrong, right? If we want genuine community, we can't avoid vulnerability. We got to be okay with it. And then lastly, number three, community is about Jesus. We have to, it's the thing that makes the community that we're called to different than any other community. It's the thing that gives power to the things that we get to do together. It's the reason, it's Jesus' central focus. He gives us direction. There's nothing wrong with the other ones. Like I said, pickleball, softball, all of those things. But can I be honest with you? I was a softball coach for a very long time and we built a softball community. But you know how far that went? It went as far as softball would go. Softball isn't life. It's just something we do. Nothing wrong with those things. But the community that we're talking about, the genuine community, is what Jesus called us all to go through so that we can accomplish what he wants us to accomplish personally and then here in the community, in our cities, wherever the Lord has called us to. And I said this before, but the beauty of this whole thing is this ragamuffin group of tax collectors, fishermen, and tradesmen. They became like Jesus, and then they turned the world upside down. They learned from their mistakes. They loved one another. They extended grace. And they continued to share that community with everyone they came in contact with and continued to leave deposits. That's why community is so important. Why community then? Because the passage we're all very familiar with, Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That's genuine community. The fruit of genuine community is transformation. Comes through serving one another, laying down our lives for each other, keeping Jesus in the reason and the direction through scripture and all the things he's called us to. This is what it's about. Now, as we land this genuine community, I just want to be real for a minute, okay? I'm pretty sure all of us at one point or another have gone through community and got hurt. It was toxic. Someone took advantage. The things that I said maybe community aren't, that's what they made it about. Can I be honest with you? And so did I. We've all felt the sting of poor community. But what that shows, the enemy can't create. He can only mimic. So what the false shows is there is a real. There is a powerful mechanism that God intended for us to walk in community. And so the question I want to ask you today is this. If you're in community, first of all, praise God. Give thanks to the Lord for those people around you because in a time of need, you get to come to the table. You get to encourage. You get to hold. You get to cry. You get to laugh with. You get to pray with. All of those things, God created you for that. And in the time when you're in need, as a man sows, so shall he reap. You'll get the same thing from that community to you. What I'm asking you is if you've been hurt by community, you're fearful of community, in a little bit we're gonna pray, I'm gonna ask, would you Would you give it another go? I really do believe we're stepping into a season where community is vital. And I'm not telling you what community or what it looks like. I'm just inviting you to consider, ask the Lord. He's gonna guide you to what that looks like. If you look, here's the truth. I cannot guarantee you if you go to a journey group, you're gonna have community. What I can tell you is if you go to a journey group, there's the potential for community to come out of it. But it gives you a platform for you to begin to have community. And even in the video, it said, even if it's just for 6 months, it's 6 months of community. And then find a few people and go from there and grow and build. But I want you to consider today, would you give community another chance? Not because of me, not because we're trying to get you to sign up for journey groups, because you can't be what God created you to be without it. And someone down the line in your future needs you to grab community. If I told you there was a $10 million diamond in the back parking lot, how long would you look for it? There is a diamond of Christianity called community before you this year. Are you willing to look for it? It brings transformation to you, to your family, and to others. Can we pray together? Lord Jesus, thank you for the gift of community. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that we have to do life together, to find commonalities and run with one another, to cry together, to pray for each other, to laugh together, to do life together. And Lord, we know that this isn't always easy, but God, will you teach us to be gracious? Would you teach us to be humble? Would you teach us to love one another and to serve each other? Lord, there's so many expressions. You even had to change the language of people because you said, gosh, what people could do if they worked all together. Lord, help us to see the power of community and help us to step out in vulnerability even today. As we're praying, if you're in a place where you feel like you need to ask God to bring healing because of a hurt in community, I wanna pray for you, and I wanna invite you to take a moment with the Lord, and if there's someone that hurts you, would you just forgive them? Would you just bring to the Lord the situation and go, Lord, this whole thing has made it difficult for community, but I wanna step into it. I wanna move in and on past this. And I want to pray for you. Lord, as we lift up these areas of community where there's a sting or there's a pain because it didn't go the way we had hoped or we were taken advantage of or whatever it may be, Lord, I just pray forgiveness and healing in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for every single one that today would be a day they go, Lord, I'm because of your leading and what you're calling me to, I'm going to give it another go. Because you're the one, you've designed this, you've asked us to step into this, and it's ultimately for your glory. So Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, and I ask that you would lead us into freedom. And Lord, for those who may even be in a place where they just feel lonely, Lord, this week, would you put them in a place where community can begin? Begin to build community together. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The last thing I wanna say, and community is created. It's not joined. You can't join community, you create it. You can join things that foster community, but community is created because we bring and make a deposit, amen? So don't forget, you can sign up for journey groups outside. If you can't find one, start inviting people over to your house for a meal. Get together after church, go to a restaurant, just start. I'd be honest. I would just tell people flat out, I'm looking for people to do life with. Are you interested? No? All right, thanks. I'm looking for someone to do life with and community. Be open and honest, tell people. Because I think what you're gonna find is you're not alone. There's a lot of people that are willing to do the same.